theme that's running strong in us right now, and we'll continue to do so. And but I felt as we were preparing this week, Caroline and I both had some time to talk about you guys all and what God is doing. And so we wanted to share something a little different, and we're kind of do a sandwich thing. I'm going to do a little shot, and then Carrie will bring something from her heart, and then I'll close it up this morning. But we're calling it Heart to Heart on Our Great Journey. And I want to just share some things from our heart about our journey. You know, living with Jesus, living for Jesus, living the Christian life is a journey. Has anyone discovered that? And so we're all at different places in that journey. But one of the things as a pastor, as a leader of a church, is that we as a people are on a journey together also. And so we're moving together forward. And it's really important that you guys catch our heart. It's part of what we're doing on the Thursday night thing was the same kind of intent in our heart. And not that Thursday night, it's not going to be a big prayer meeting. It's not going to be a big preaching meeting. We'll probably talk from our hearts for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And then the rest of the time, we'll just be hanging out, meeting together and having some cheese or biscuits or orange juice or, you know, wine for the naughty people amongst us or whatever. And I'll be one of those. Amen. And so that's what we wanted to do. But I wanted to share just a couple of really important things, because church is a family. Church is a lot of things if you read the Bible. Church is an army. So there's military aspects to church. But one of the major images, church is a body. So we all have different parts and we join together. But one of the strongest images you get of the church in the Bible is a family. And so we do stuff together. We grow together. We invite other people into our lives. And that's a really important part of church. And it's actually a skill, an art, and it takes the involvement and the heart connection of people to make that a reality. Carrie and I are called to lead that family. We do that together. There's very much a team sense. You know, at the end of the day, I'll be the senior person of that team, because anything with two heads is generally found in a freak show. And so it never functions well like that. But we are very much a team. We work together and carry your heart before God together. And so we want to give you just a couple of insights into what's running strong in our heart and where we feel like our journey is heading. And in the first little bit, I just want to talk about our emphasis and what's really running strong in us, which is the vital need of reaching people, reaching lost people. And there are lots of different conversations that you can have around that. You know, is the church attractional, or are we more, or, you know, missional? And I would say yes to both. We want the church to be as accessible to people who are not used to church as possible. But we also are running a church where people are believers that have a connection with Jesus, and we want to help that thing become stronger. So there isn't any one perfect example of how to do church in that regard. There are some people, I was listening to a clip this week of Bill Hybels, who'd be one of the most respected church leaders in recent history, whose strong emphasis has been seeker sensitivity and that whole issue, and making things very deliberately approachable for people. The Alpha Course in our country has a very similar concept in its approach. And then I hear other people. I heard another guy preach recently whose church is filled with tens of thousands of people. I think I mentioned him to you. I think they get about 700 people in their kind of church network receiving Jesus, making a decision. Some will be reconnections every week, 700 people every week. And if you listen to him preach, he's really not interested in the seeker-sensitive style at all. Yet both of these people are doing something significant for God. So it's very important to understand that there isn't a right, perfect format, but it is important to catch our heart and to kind of be unified in what we're doing. And what you need to understand is that it's vitally important to Carrie and I, and we believe for our church, to be functioning with a motivation to reach out into the lost world, the people around us. When we say lost, all we mean is people that are not connected with Jesus. Doesn't mean that they're inferior. Doesn't mean, do you hear what I'm saying? We don't want superior Christianity. We don't want people thinking like we're better than the next guys. And I like Amazing Grace when it comes to that. How sweet the sound. that saved someone like me. I once was lost. We all were once lost. But if you're excited about being found, then something in you ought to be pumping, your heart pumping, to help other people in your world become found and meet the Jesus that loves them. And I've been around church life to know long enough to know that that particular heartbeat can go out in people or can wind down in people. So we can get to a stage in our lives where we feel like we're just going through the motions. We just do this and we do that. And I would say to you with all of my heart, if you're in that kind of zone, fall in love with Jesus again. Because he is the center of the whole thing. I can give you a lot of reasons why I do what I do and different things we've been through and how long we've done this and all that kind of jazz. But at the end of the day, there's a person called Jesus who loved me, who laid down his life for me, and he is the reason that I'm standing, and he is the reason that I do this, and he's the reason that I'll do it forever. And I know, like I told you recently, that in the US stats, I don't know how different we are here in the UK, but certainly in the US, for every 10 ministers, young pastors that start in their 20s, one out of 10 is still pastoring in their 60s. 9 out of 10 drop out along the way. Now, I'm sure some of them probably were doing something they weren't called to do. But regardless, that's a shocking stat. And see, I know I've experienced burnout, depression. I've pastored people. I've pastored pastors even in my 30s in Australia and all these kinds of things. So I've seen a lot of those things come and go. But here's the thing that you've got to keep in the center of your heart. At the end of the day, it's about Jesus. He loves you. Carrie and I do our best to reflect Jesus to you. And that's our job and our calling. But we are not going to get it right all the time. And so if I've never said it to you before, I'll say it to you now. Sooner or later, I'm going to offend you. And if it's not me, it'll probably be Caroline. He's much more offensive than I am, you know. But I'm just telling you straight, that's just how it is because we're human people. I believe we're good people. I believe we're true people to God and to the calling God's got upon our lives. I have no doubt about that at all. And that I'm in this position because God put me in this position. I'm not a self-appointed person. But that's a decision every person has to make in terms of how they relate. And I would say to you, and I would say to the Christian church at large, and I say it to lots of people, you have got to find some leader somewhere that you believe God has sent into your life. Because God never intended for the Christian life to be lived alone or to be lived sailing all your own. A leader or a shepherd or a pastor or a teacher is there to help you negotiate life successfully. And so that's you've got to find somebody and that you feel like, man, God put them in my life. Doesn't mean you're going to like them all the time. Man, if you follow Jesus for very long, you're going to find he doesn't like you too much all the time either. Or you may not like him all the time, I should say. I mean, you could be Peter, who is pretty close to Jesus, if you remember, one of the closest three. And at one point, with all his passion and all his desire to make sure that Jesus would live. You're not going to go to the cross, Jesus. That's what he said. And Jesus turned around to his close friend and disciple and said, get behind me, Satan. I wonder if Jesus said that to you, whether you'd still be following him. I mean, Peter was, but see, we think, oh, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And I believe in love and I believe in tenderness and I believe in kindness. But I also know that following Jesus is going to put a demand on my flesh. And there are lots of times I'm going to be asked by God to do something I don't particularly want to do. So I made a decision in my heart a long time ago that instead of being a Christian that got dragged along and God saying, come and, you know, and you can see the skid marks in the ground as God is trying to get Paul Van Essen to do the, oh, I want to do it this way, oh, that I don't want to be that kind of person for Jesus. I don't get it right all the time, but I want to be someone that says, Jesus, if that's what you want, that's where I'm going. So I have committed my life for the foreseeable future, as far as I can see, to Staines. Now, I come from Australia. And I have a wife who would prefer to live in Australia, probably. And I have a church full of people. I have a country. I have a town of Staines. And if I spoke to the 50,000-odd people in Staines, I can guarantee you that most of them would think, why are you living in England when you could be living in Australia? You see? But if I approach God that way and I say, God, well, this is, you know, I'll serve you, but, you know, it's got to be in Australia. And the temperature's got to be such and such. Well, God still loves me. But I don't want to be that kind of servant. I want God to find somebody where if he said, Paul, you're going to go to the Antarctic, it's hot, it's cold there, you're not going to like it, whatever. I want him to find in me a heart that says, sure, I'll do that. I mean, it might be a bit uncomfortable, but I'll find a way. And I'm not going to be one of these moaning Christians that's dragging their feet. Are you with me? And that applies as well to reaching out to people in the community. I know, I mean, I can preach and help you and I've lived it and all that kind of stuff. But I know as well that us stepping outside of the box and pushing into the presence of God and saying, we're going to make our lives count for you, we're going to make a difference. I know that stretches the comfort zone and that gets us out of where we feel comfortable. But I've got to lead that way, and that's the way Carrie and I both lead. You know, and if you were to look at our life, I would say 95% probably of our lives are doing things that we need to do, that we're responsible to do, not that we all hate, but 95% of it is stuff that it's not like, yeah, it's not like we're preaching all day, every day, haven't, you know. This Carrie does accounts. We would love to have an accounts person that came along and said, let me handle the accounts for you, we'll take care of that. And she can do it. She's capable, but she doesn't really like doing it. You know, I do all that kind of stuff. And your life's got that too, hasn't it? We've all got that. I mean, how many have kids, all right? Yeah. They're lovely, aren't they, when they come in those little packages too. They're just lovely, cute little until... Did she sleep an extra hour? 40 minutes, not bad. It's Scarlett. So Carrie's raised 4. I've helped her with those. I've raised 3 and you know, and there are others. And kids are, on the one hand, the greatest joy, and on the other hand, you can tear your hair out. And that's just how it is. And you have to learn. Paul, you are just not going to be a tear-your-hair-out person when you feel like it, or an emotionally manipulative parent, which you can also be. Or an insecure parent, which you can also be. Not like we get everything right, but what I'm talking about is our heart attitude to say, actually, I'm going to be as much like Jesus in this situation, and I'm just not letting myself off the hook because I don't feel like it. I can't afford as a Christian to live just by how I feel. Don't know really where that came from, but anyway, that was all right, wasn't it? So, we're reaching people. That's really what I'm talking about. We have a passion to reach people, and I want to touch on this word. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, and then I'll get Carrie up. And you'll see two words here that are central to the Bible and central to our lives and what we see as important in leading our church and in the journey that we're going to. And Carrie will actually not she's got another thing she's talking about, so I'll close off at the end in 10 minutes or so after she's done there. So, but if we look at Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes to this church. We always thank God. Don't you love that? We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. What a good attitude, Paul. Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all his people. Faith and love. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. Hope, positive expectation. You're going to go, if you've received Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. I sent a couple of people a clip of Yongyi Cho talking about someone who went to heaven. I love those stories. And you can't base your whole life on somebody's stories. But when you have godly people that have consistent stories, there are certain things you know to be true. One of them is you're going to get a mansion in heaven. And the other is that the size of your mansion and the quality of your mansion is going to be directly related to how you lived your life here. So Cho tells this story. I'm going to come to you and come back to this in a minute. Cho tells the story of one of his elders, a senior associate, who when he was young, his wife had died, and then 5 days later he died. Long story short, if you want it, email me and I'll send you the clip. And he was up in heaven with Jesus, and he said, amongst other things, he said he saw a lady there who he remembered from his church, and nobody knew her, nobody recognized her, she was not important at all. And all she did was clean. She'd come in early, clean the church, clean the pulpit. She was always working, busy, but she was a nobody, was the term. And he said, and I saw in his Korean, I saw her mansion, and it was magnificent. And he said, and then he went down a little bit further down the road. There are roads everywhere, mansions everywhere. And he said, and there was another man, and he was an elder in the church. He was well-respected and well-known. But in Cho's quite cheeky. Cho says in his own term, you know, he's a bit full of himself, but, you know, he was a servant of God. And he said, and he had a mansion, but her mansion was much nicer than his mansion. And then he asked, and he said, can I go and see my building, my home? And he said, sure. So he came along, and he came along to this mansion. It was only half done, and there's no roof on it. And he said, well, what about, you know, and he said, well, the building materials for the roof will be provided by the service that you do to God while you're down there on earth. Now that makes perfect, perfect biblical sense. 1 Corinthians 3 and a whole lot of other verses you could quote. And so I'm probably introing kind of into what Karim, I don't know. But I don't know how come I got to that. I'm just sharing from my heart really. But I guess what's important, what we're saying is, living for God, living for heaven, stretching ourselves, perhaps being a little bit uncomfortable, being in decision to be a certain kind of a person, to make certain kind of decision, to love people, to reach people. Those things have an eternal impact in our worlds. And I would love for you, you know, that I'll tell you the truth. There'll be lots of Christians that get to heaven that won't have much of a mansion. They just won't. And God loves them and he's not mad at them and they're not going to be all miserable or woeful. But I would love to lead a people who get to heaven and have a magnificent mansion. And they'll say, Pastor, thank you for stirring me up to love people and to good works, because that's made all the difference. Because this life goes real quick, but that life goes forever. Just a couple of quick thoughts. I'm going to ask you to welcome Carrie. She shares something from her heart, and then I'll close off in 10 minutes. Thanks.
Hi. Yeah, as Pastor Paul was saying, you know, one of the things you have to do is just to live for God. And part of that is serving. It's a great thing, serving. And it just brings me so much joy serving and being part of something. I mean, years ago, I started helping out in kids' church. This is a long, long time ago. Then I progressed to hospitality. And then I ended up doing admin. Now I kind of oversee the kids' church. So I don't do hospitality so much anymore. I think I got burnt once and I got really ticked off about it. Paul said, I don't think hospitality is your thing. But it's just really important to serve. And one of the reasons is because you're not only doing it for God, but you actually make relationships and things. And everything here we've got so many servers in this house, it's great, but we can always do with more. But, you know, when we come here in the morning, it's not like we come into a hall. Like if you're hiring a school hall, it's probably empty. You just have to put chairs out. This is a cafe, so I don't know if any of, you know, not everybody perhaps has seen it as it normally is, but they come in the morning and there's tables everywhere and Dan gets here, or Dave and Chrissy and Owen and Blue and the others, clap, clap, clap. And they come and help and pull, and they have to move everything out. They have to take all the tables out. They have to put all the chairs to one side. Then they have to get everything out of the shed, set it all up, plug it all in. Grinds there on the sound desk, hoping people have plugged it in the right place and this kind of stuff. You know. And then meanwhile, Chrissy's over there doing the hospitality and boiling the kettle and making all this beautiful stuff with help. So thank you. And Owen's upstairs doing, you know, the stuff with the children and laying it all out. And he has to move all these tables and chairs out of the room as well. And that requires service. And sometimes we don't actually feel like doing it. But I won't talk about that just yet. But God, Jesus says in his own words, you know, the greatest of all is the servant of all. And so he actually has a lot to say about being a good server. In fact, you know, you've probably heard of the word servant leadership, and he demonstrates that. And I'm not talking about the leadership side today because I've only got a few minutes and it's not the subject. But, you know, Jesus humbled himself. He served, he washed people's feet, he went round praying for people, preaching to people, healing people. And at the end, you know, he gave his life for people. And that's a tremendous sacrifice that he made, because he had a, he knew what it was to serve. And I really like the story of Jonathan and the armor bearer. I've spoken about it before, but that's because it's a really good story and it demonstrates this perfectly. Many of you might know the story, but Jonathan was the son of Saul, and they were in battle against the Philistines, and people were just sitting around under pomegranate trees because it was too hot and everything, and they just didn't want to go and have a fight, I guess. But Jonathan said, oh, see them up there, let's just go and get it, let's just go and take them out. This is the CVE version. And the armor bearer goes, yeah, of course, go ahead, I'll do all that is in your mind, his armor bearer said. He said, go ahead, I'm with you heart and soul. He didn't sort of negotiate saying, yeah, but we might, you know, die. He didn't sort of argue the point. He probably didn't, maybe he didn't relish it, I don't know. But he just trusted the guy that he was serving completely. And some people say, oh, well, that's because he was being paid. But you can't buy that kind of commitment, you know. You know, I was thinking about it. Yeah, you can buy because you're serving. But, you know, to actually go up and put your life and just do it, I'm with you heart and soul, that takes more than just being paid for to do a job, if you see what I mean. Because it's something in here, like you're knit to that person. You know, and this guy, you know, the armor bearer would have dressed Jonathan and undressed him as well. So they were quite personal, you know, they did know each other. But anyway, the long and the short of it is they did go and do it, and they went and won anyway. But, you know, the armor bearer didn't question, he just did it, even if it didn't feel that great at the time. And in this church, you know, I stand here sometimes, but, you know, I serve Pastor Paul as well. You know, I'm not only his wife, but I help you, don't I, darling? More often than not. And, you know, and it's hard. So, what, you know, when I see something that, you know, I think, oh, the workload's too much, I'll think, oh, what can I do to help that, you know? And sometimes I don't even tell him, because he doesn't even know what I do, because you don't want to bother the person you're serving, if you see what I mean. Sometimes if I need to know whether it's what to do, then obviously I'll talk to him about it. But other times I just get on and do it, you know? You know, sometimes you have to look at the bigger picture as well. And if there's a problem, sort it out. And sometimes I'll do it myself, and other times I'll defer and say, well, what should we do about this, that and the other? But I'd just like to give you a few tips on serving, because I haven't got very long. One of them is to serve as if you're serving Jesus, because that's what the point of the whole message was. So when we're putting out the chairs here, for example, we're not just putting out chairs, we're preparing God's house for him. Okay, and there's a difference in how you see these things. When we're making hospitality, Chrissy's not just making cups of tea and coffee. She's serving us all, and her helpers, of course. But she's serving us hospitality things and making us cups of coffee for us to enjoy, so we can chat and we can be the body of Christ and the church and a family and that kind of thing. She's not just boiling hot water and putting it through a filter, you know? It's how you see things. So just always remember that you're doing it for Jesus, happily. Okay? Second one I've got here is just see the bigger vision, see the perspective, see the why behind what you're doing, which I've covered to some point. There's a story which I mentioned before about the three bricklayers, and there's three guys. I'll be very quick. One of them, well, they're all doing the same thing, basically. They're all bricklaying. And the first one sort of looking at his watch and going, I want to go home, oh, what's the time? And somebody comes along and says, oh, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm building a wall, but, you know, it's dinner time, I need to get home, da-da-da-da-da. I'm just laying bricks, actually. The second one, doing exactly the same thing, he says, what are you building? Oh, I'm building a wall, but, you know, my wife's cooked dinner for me and I'm itching to get home. I've been doing it for 4 hours or whatever. And then the third person is doing exactly the same thing, and the person goes, what are you doing? He goes, I'm building a cathedral. Because he can just see the bigger vision, the bigger perspective. And that really helps when you serve and when I serve, that you see what you're doing it for. Does that make sense? Yeah? So see the bigger version, vision rather. And the third one I've put down here is be proactive. So if you see a need, fix it. If you can. It could be financial. You might see a need that, oh, so-and-so needs something, or they could do with something or other in church, or, you know, well, you know, that kind of thing. It could be a financial need that you can fix quite easily. If you're a giver, it's an easy thing to do. It could be practical help, like you think, well, I could really help Ryan on the sound desk because I'm actually quite interested in that, and I know that he gets here every week, but I'm going to take that on. I'm going to learn how to do it because he needs the help to do it. Or it could be any other area as well. It could be kids or with Esther or whoever. Or Chrissy, even with hospitality. But you see, you know, you see the need and you fix it. It could be emotional help. You might know somebody in the church, you know, that needs some help, you know, emotional, some support because they're going through a tough time. So there's lots of different ways that we can actually serve, you know, in this house and beyond. But some things can set you back. I'll just talk about this very briefly. How long have I got, Dol? 2 minutes? 2 minutes? Sometimes, you know, we don't actually want to do it. So I've got to say that, really, because serving isn't always fun as much as we like doing it. And it is fun, because when you're in a team and you get to see the job done, you get satisfaction out of it, yeah? But sometimes you don't feel like you might be tired, or you might have to give something up, or sometimes, you know, people think, sometimes people upset you, deliberately or accidentally, it doesn't really matter. Sometimes people just have a difference of opinion and you clash over things. But you just have to get on with it and make up and talk to that person. Don't come to me saying, oh, so-and-so did this and they said that and da, da, da. I said, well, have you spoken to them? Because if you just talk amongst yourself, that's just gossip and God doesn't like that. So if you've got a problem, go and speak to the person. If they might not be aware that they've upset you, especially, you know, if it's Pastor Paul, because I'm not going to use myself. No, if I've upset you, you know, I might not even realise I've upset you. You know, so you come talk to me, you know. So did you really mean that? I go, oh, sorry, I didn't mean that. Or maybe I've said something, or when somebody said something in your team, actually you do need to hear that because perhaps you're the problem. And actually, Sophie, have you got that slide, please? This is something I saw on Facebook this week. Because there's always two sides to it. This is quite funny. Ta-da. Anyway, it'll be up in a moment, I'm sure. Oh, there it is. So it's just because you're right does not mean I am wrong. You just haven't seen life from my side. Yeah, it's quite good though. So sometimes it is like with leadership or serving that you actually don't see it from the other point of view. You only see it from your side, and you filter things in through your lens, and there's actually a different side to that. So it's just a good thing to say and talk to the person. And if people make mistakes, forgive them. Choose to forgive people, because love's the higher priority here, not your own pride, yeah? So even if they are wrong, just forgive them. And similarly, if you're wrong, the good thing is to just go and say, humble yourself and go and say, sorry, I messed up there, or I didn't mean that, because we all make mistakes, especially in serving in the morning on a Sunday, because sometimes people are tired and sometimes things go, well, Chrissy's laughing, things go wrong and people can get a bit snappy sometimes, you know. We're all guilty of that. But the thing is just to get on, and do what's right and forgive the other person, say sorry yourself and forgive yourself as well. I think that's about it. Yeah, I was going to say about sacrifice. And there is a sacrifice to serving. You know, we can't always do what we want to do. You have to get up early. Chrissy and Owen have been doing this for years, getting up and setting up this place. And I mean years, like how many? 15 years? 17? More? About that. No, stop there. But a lot of time, you know, a long, long time they've been serving. And it's not always fun getting up Sunday morning when you could just sort of lie in and have a cup of tea, you know. But so there is a price to be paid. And David said in the Bible, he said, no, I insist on paying for it. This is talking about burnt offerings. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. And it's just such an important thing that we're serving God and we're lifting it up to him, but there's a price that we have to pay, and he sees that. And as Pastor Paul mentioned earlier, that our inheritance is in heaven, and it's worth paying that price down here to get our award up there. Awesome. I think I'll stop there. Thank you.
That was great, Carrie. I love listening to you. I'm just going to take a few minutes to close up just because of time, because we do want to receive that offering too for Sebastian and our work in Pakistan. So we'll do that in just a couple of minutes. But I'll close off out of this verse here. I read it to you before and I'll read it here. When we pray for you, we always thank God for you because we've heard of your faith in Jesus and your love you have for his people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you've already heard in the true word of the gospel that's come to you. In the same way, this gospel, and that's what we're preaching, is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. And I think when we truly understand God's grace, And I would say that there are plenty of people in our churches, in our nation, that don't truly understand God's grace. But when we do, it causes us to respond in faith and love. And they're two of the heartbeat things that Carrie and I carry in our heart and we feel like is part of our journey. Faith and love. Love is this, that we love God with all our hearts, that we're going to get stuff wrong, but that we're passionately in love with Jesus. I said it before, I'll say it again. He's the reason. And if you feel flat, and if you feel bored, and if you feel disinterested, and if you're watching the clock now and thinking, is he going to be 3 more minutes, or is he really going to, or you're thinking about, you know, we've got to stay in love with Jesus. There really is someone watching. And we're really serving him and loving Jesus. But that flows into loving people. And I love what Caroline touched on, because he mentioned understanding the grace of God. See, grace is just giving people so much space. It's unmerited favor. It's favoring them unnecessarily. And I want to encourage you, when we love people, whether that's people in the church or people outside of the church, grace and love means people can make a mistake and you let it go. And you don't get offended, and you don't walk on the other side of the road because that neighbor was mean to you, and you don't leave a note through the neighbor's door saying, why don't you do something about your dog barking, you inconsiderate person? And you don't, you know what I mean? And we do these things. We live in a world that often, or we may not say it, but we really don't like that person very much. Or that person at work we don't like. And if we're not careful, you may not say it, but in your heart, when you love people, people can be ugly. I posted something on Facebook about this week. People can be ugly. People can be unpleasant. People can be unfair. People can be mean. And when you've got the love of God in you, you can let them be that and not let it affect you. That's because the greater one is in you. And that's the love that's already in you, but we have to learn to access that love. Because, and that's part of what we're talking about when we're sharing our heart of our journey. You see, it's not, we are not going to be a church that just gets out there and, oh, we're talking to people in Jesus, but we're really deep down, you know, we're doing this because the pastor said we should do this and da-da-da-da-da. I don't want that kind of spirit. I just want to be as much like Jesus as I can. I want to look at those people. I told you once before when I was driving a car, and long story short, and a guy was irritated about the way I drove, and he spat out through his window, car window, which was open, and my window was open, and his spittle landed on my face. I don't know if I told you that story. And a couple of the boys were with me. I was driving them to school, and I just said, what a shame, you know. I can wipe the spit, it's no big deal. Now, some people are going to get in their car, do a U-turn, chase that guy down the street. Rah, 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 rah. For what? What happened to the guy? He made a mistake. He made a bad call. That was a really dumb thing to do. But am I going to let it completely unsettle me now? He had 2 daughters in the back of his car, and I'm thinking, whatever's happened to you, buddy, whether your dad didn't love you or whether you're maybe his wife, he just found out his wife was in bed with somebody else, or maybe he's just found out his mum's got cancer, or you don't know. But you see, we can't afford to live small, selfish lives. The love of God means we love those people, all people, and people in the church like that. You know, I heard somebody talking about it. It was really helpful to me. He was talking in a church conference. And he's talking about how Christians, and I've pastored for a long time, you know, and Christians, there are lots of Christians that aren't in a church or that have no intention of going to a church, or they go to a church they don't like, and they've got their reasons, but if the love of God got in there, those reasons would disappear. Because what they're really doing is showing non-love for Jesus' bride. And you can't do that and put a smile on God's face. Now, I'm not trying to point my finger at anybody. I just know what life is like. I know what people are like. There are lots of Christians out there. And we've got to live the Christian life that says, it doesn't matter if your attitude stunk for 10 years. I don't have to point my finger. I don't have to say, you're nasty. I'm going to live as much like Jesus and give everybody the opportunity to make the better decisions for their own life, which is to live a life of love. If you live that way, and you live cloistered, and you live like, I don't like church, I don't go to church, I don't believe in, they'll come up with all sorts. I don't believe in institutional organization. You know? The pastor hurt me. What really happened was your heart got hurt somewhere along the way. And I get that because my heart's got hurt lots of times along the way too. And it's not like I find it easy necessarily to process those things. But I know this, I'm going to stand before God one day, and if I have maintained in my heart a whole lot of anger or disaffection or gossip or whatever for God's people and God's leaders and God's house, we're going to get before heaven and we're going to think, well, that was something I shouldn't have done. And we'll realize we could have got over it if we really wanted to. So we need to keep that heart. Now, we're out of time today, so I'm going to close on that. On Thursday night, everybody is welcome. We'll have some drinks, and we're covering the costs for the autumn thing on Monday night, so that's why we're asking for people, if they're adults, you can get a glass of wine or two and nibbles, and you £5 will barely cover, but it doesn't matter. That's fine. But on Thursday night, it'll be like a connect meeting. Everybody's welcome, 7:30 till 9, and I will talk just for probably 10 minutes or 15 minutes and carry my chair, just about our heart for the church. I want to talk about that spirit of faith that if you're in our building, you will notice. It's a very positive spirit. It's a spirit that believes that what God said he can do and he wants to do, and that what God said about you, he wasn't lying and he believes in you. It's called a spirit of faith, and it's a really important part of our culture. So I'll talk a little bit about that and how that works. And in the meantime, we're going to close up. If we could have Grace come on the keyboard, it'd be great. We're going to welcome Scarlett this morning. Hello, God bless you, darling. Good to see you. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity now. And again, it's an opportunity. If you wish to, everything you give will put towards what we are doing for Jesus there and helping, what's he in Pakistan? So he's not going to be buying himself a new house. Or anything like that, but if he can get his walls patched so it stops leaking or something like that, I think that would be good, wouldn't it? Or if we can get him to come over and be with us next year. So we'll let you know exactly what we do, but if you want to be part of that, and I want to be part of that, so leave an envelope there for me, and we're going to do that right now. Praise God. And then I'm just going to ask us to turn our hands towards heaven.